have no idea what loss is.
You have no idea what loss is.
I reckon it's got something to do with that girl.
He's got everything to do with that little girl.
I can take care of myself.
How many close calls have we had?
Can't be any worse out there. Can it? Every guy in this room is staring at you right now. Maybe they're staring at you. Maybe they're jealous of you. I'm just a girl. Not a threat.
Welcome to the world of The Last of Us, it's Entertainment Talks podcast for the Naughty Dog video game series and the HBO on Max and Sky Atlantic television series. I'm your host Matthew, and this is both spoiler game discussion for season 2 episode 7, and because we interestingly got some setup pieces in episode 7, also doing some granted very early predictions for season 3. Can also talk about some stuff that happens in episode 7. I'm not going to do scene breakdowns because that's what Wednesday is for the spoiler review. And to talk about my impressions after the second episode. Going to also, again, when I was doing predictions after episode 6 and talking about how episode 7 could lead into season 3 episode 1, now that we actually have season 2 episode 7, I can use the scenes and the information there to possibly more accurately predict Season 3 Episode 1, seeing as we basically had a scene which is going to be in Season 3 Episode 1 as well. So that's what we're going to be doing on this one, a little bit different. We're not really predicting, you know, strictly for the next episode. The next episode is probably 2 years away. I know that everybody is very grumbled and upset by that, but we all knew that that was going to happen, didn't we? It's not good, it's not nice, but it is what it is, and we've known about it for a while, so we're all gonna have to wait, unfortunately. Alright, so my opinion after the episode has indeed gotten stronger, and again, it did really help to know what was coming, because I can guess what's gonna happen, and guess the structure, and guess how you're gonna do things. But watching it, specifically the second time when you're watching it, or when I'm watching it rather, and I know what's going to come up, I know the scenes that are going to be happening, I can start digesting them, like actually paying, not paying more attention to them, but I can digest them easier because I know what they are, if that makes sense. So I love this episode even more the second time around. Something I noticed about the pacing of this episode, now this isn't a negative knock against the show, it's just something I noticed. I think you've got two halves to this episode. You've got the first half, which is about the first 20 minutes. And I don't mean literally the half of the episode, but there's a particular turning point I noticed. And I think once you get to the bookstore scene with Jesse, and then they have their conversation... Sorry, not once you get there, I mean once Ellie gets there. I'm saying you because you control Ellie at that point in the game. Once Ellie gets to the bookstore with Jesse, and they both start having a conversation, and then they get the alert about the sniper, and then, you know, I really hope you make it, and all that sort of bit. I think that's where the episode picks up. I think everything that comes before that is very good setup for that, and I think it does have a good flow in terms of you had the birthday episode, you had the little nugget at the end of, hey, remember where we were in present day, where we're going to go to next, which is the theatre. You pick up from the theatre pretty much, and then you just go from there. So I thought that I had a good flow to it from like the end of episode 6 through to the end, pretty much through to the middle of episode 7, and then, you know, from there to the end. I think that's quite a good, has quite a good sort of flow to it, and I like that they did that three times specifically, in terms of you have the episode 5, you have the Nora scene, then you get the little morning wake up scene, and you get a sense of, okay, we're gonna go back in time a little bit, and then you get that episode, and then you get the little nugget at the end, which is showing you, hey, remember, don't forget about the Nora Theater thing and like where we're going next. And then this episode, granted, in a bit of a different way, because we aren't with Ellie by the end of this episode, lets you know that, hey, you're going back to Abby's day one. And I thought that they did that quite well. I suppose I should, where should I go first? Because I have got a bunch of notes and we've got some feedback as well. Doesn't talk about teasers for season three. Let me just pick up from where I just was, because I have a little thing there, I suppose. So one of my predictions, and one of the specific reasons I came up with this prediction, is because we'd had the sort of end of episode tease for next episode, end for episode tease for next episode, and trying to predict what episode 7 would do with that. Now my prediction, because again, using the video game scenes that we have and not the TV scenes, because I don't know what the TV scenes are going to be, was you wasted it, then you cut away, cut to black, whatever, and you cut to Abby. My prediction was, I say half right, half wrong, because I was half right about, okay, you'd stop there and then you'd cut over to something involving Abby. I just thought, because of the way the game flips over, is you cut back to Abby from 4 years ago and she's calling out to her dad. Not exactly what we got, but it makes sense as to here, rather than going 4 years back, you go, right, Seattle day one. And I think that's an interesting way to do it, particularly with the title cards, because when you get to, when was it? I think it's the bit just after they get back to the theater and they kind of recuperate and all that sort of thing. And you get the little title card that says Seattle Day 3, so letting you know exactly where you are in the story. And then seeing Seattle Day 1 in that part, rather than just, hey, here's Abby calling out to her dad 4 years ago. I think both of them would have worked. I don't see a problem with doing it this way, and I totally get what they were going for. I think what you're probably gonna do, because you literally did it this season, I wonder if at some point next season, and there's been rumors of a few more episodes. So let's say we go back to nine episode, a count of nine episodes. If you do eight other episodes, and not the ninth, but a ninth episode, or one of the nine episodes, if we do get nine, but let's stick to nine as an example. If you literally get, no, it won't play out the same way, because there's no like Abby birthday thing and all that sort of stuff. But if you do like a Jerry Abby episode, I think it'll have a different goal and a different tone, because you don't really have the sort of happy relationship thing going on. Because again, there's no birthday thing. There would be no like space thing to take Abby to. There's no dinosaur for her to stand on top of. It doesn't really work like that. In fact, the only really sort of happy moment she would get from that is the zebra scene. That's the only thing that comes remotely close to, because those are sort of, okay, think things are intense and there's questions being asked and stuff, but, and the zebra thing itself was a bit intense because of how tangled it was. And I don't know, it's too early for me to predict yet when you'll do it, because I need to remember all of the exact scenes, which is why I need to go through the second half of the game again. But I will probably do that closer to when we get to season three. I don't know when exactly we will, or I will do that. But from what I remember from all the Abby Jerry scenes is, well, her finding him dead on the floor. Them talking with also Marlene. I wonder if you could bring that actress back, because she's surely got to be in some of those scenes. When they're talking about the whole cure thing, and Abby walks in on it, and they're discussing all that kind of stuff. I'm assuming that will be in the show. Then some. It doesn't have to be the same zebra thing, but some sort of scene like that. I wonder if you could put all of that, and maybe some new bits as well. Because don't forget, you had the whole guitar making thing, you had the cake thing with Seth, you had the tattoo making scene. There was still a few new bits in episode 6. So I wonder if you're going to do, and I'm judging this like this just purely based off how we've gone to Seattle Day 1 rather than 4 years ago at the beginning of at this next part. It's too early for me to guess, like, okay, what will the opening scene of season 3 be? Probably something to do with Abby.
Hi there, if you're looking to get started with a website of your own and a domain name, we've got good news for you. With our affiliate link with Kualu, you can click on that link which is in your show notes, which is for our affiliate link. You can go over to Kualu to get started with your website and domain name today. They've also got a very handy chat support system which is usually in the bottom right hand corner to send messages back and forth to Kualu if you'd like to ask them for help to get started with your domain name and website today. So that's Kualu, and you can use them to get started with your website and domain name today. Thank you very much to Kualu for this affiliate link. Hi there, if you'd like to get rid of the ads in Entertainment Talks podcast and listen to the ad-free versions of our episodes, we've got good news for you there as well. You can subscribe to Entertainment Talk at either the $5 level tier or $10 level tier. The $5 level tier will get you access to all of Entertainment Talk's previous ad-free podcasts and the future ad-free podcasts that we make in the month that you're subscribed for. If you also subscribe to us at the $10 level tier, that will get you that benefit that I've just mentioned, and it'll also grant you access to request a review for 2 episodes of a TV show and a general discussion on that show, or a film review of your choice. So if there's a TV show out there or a film that we've not covered perhaps and you'd like our opinion on it, we can watch 2 episodes of that TV show or film review. So it's one of either of those per month. Of course, if you continue subscribing each month, you can pick a TV show, then a film the next month, and so on and so forth. This is a great way to support Entertainment Talk, get your ad-free podcasts, and also get some reviews of your choice. Thank you very much for supporting us, and thank you for listening. Back to the show.
But yeah, well, I wonder if they kind of, again, I don't know what the scene will look like, or if we just replay this scene and then, because we did that this season, actually, didn't we? Where we had the swear to me, five lies, true, okay, all that sort of thing. And then you played the end of that bit at the start of this season and then just carried the episode on from there. So I wonder if we do just get the opening of season 3 is, I know I said I wasn't going to predict this, is her waking up on that sofa and then just taking a walk into the stadium to establish the community. Possibly, it is possible they might do that. Again, it's too early for me to predict exactly what might happen there. But the only thing I'm trying to say here really is, if you're not opening on 4 years earlier, which is what the game does, are you going to do an entire flashback episode? Again, different goal, different aim, different tone to the birthday thing. I wonder if you're going to do a Jerry and Abby episode. That would also be a bit easier for filming, because then whoever you're going to cast as Jerry, can just be in one episode, I suppose, if you want to do it that way. I don't know that that's what's going to happen, but that's one of my early predictions. I guess we'll find out in 2 years, won't we? So there was that bit. So again, half right. It wasn't, you know, my prediction, my base level prediction from years ago of like, okay, it makes sense that you probably end it at, you wasted it. Now you ended the scenes there. You ended the theatre scene in that exact spot. But, because yeah, I think I predicted this on the episode 6, the episode after episode 6 podcast, that it made no sense to me to do the full theatre fight, and like, Lev's not there, Lev would be popping up, the audience would have no idea who he is, whereas you will by the time you go through that journey on the show. And then you got this guy that's, you know, you do the full theatre fight, which you would have had no time for in this episode as well, that you do all of that, and you go through all of that, and then this person just pops up, and tells Abby not to slit Dina's throat. That would have I'm not saying it couldn't have worked. Obviously they didn't go for it anyway. And I never properly thought that they would. I was just thinking of different scenarios. So anyway. Alright, I'm just going to go down in my notes. I've written them in somewhat of an order, but that's those are the thoughts off the top of my head. Teasers for Season 3. Ellie and the Seraphites. Isaac talking to that woman. I could not remember her name. About Abby. And the explosion on the island. Shots of Ellie slash Joel's revolver as she goes to return. So I mentioned in the spoiler-free review that you had kind of three different sets of scenes, which was new scenes, video game and video game remixes, so that can be counted as one, and then teasers for next season. Now, it's not unlike a season finale to tease the next season of a show, but, and I saw some people kind of moaning a bit about, like, hey, why did you randomly cut over to having Ellie be kidnapped by the Seraphites for 2 minutes and then cut away? I actually quite liked that idea, and that wasn't something that was on my, if you want to call it, bingo card. I didn't really have anything proper for sort of how will they tease season three, other than cutting to Abby in some way, shape or form after the "you wasted it" line. Because that's just telling you kind of what's next, which is what they've been doing. I didn't think you'd do something like this, and I quite liked it. Look, I thought it was really cool to see who I think is the Prophet. She looked a lot like the Prophet. By the way, I think I mentioned this somewhere before, maybe, because I think I talked about the season finale trailer last week, how we see a woman who looks very much like the Prophet from the game, with, you know, a curved blade, and she looks more like a leader. Can't wait to see her in season three. Absolutely cannot wait to see her in season three. I really hope, I don't know if you can have her as like the lead actress in an episode, but I would really love something particularly focused. I mean, you can use Lev and Yara in the episode as well if you want to. Some kind of Seraphites focused episode, but I don't know for TV how. I suppose you could do it because what examples can we use? Let's say season 1, episode 3, like Bill and Frank were the main two characters of that episode, but Joel and Ellie were still in parts of the episode. You could maybe do something like the earlier days of, and these are very early predictions. I would really like something focused, because she doesn't actually get that much game time, screen time in the game, does she? She gets killed almost very soon after you see her. And yes, it would be a very cult heavy focused episode, but the group is important to this story. I just wonder if HBO slash people working on the show would feel the need of, okay, the lead actress for our season is going to be Caitlin Dever as Abby. That's the credited thing, right? How do you weave Caitlin Dever's Abby into this episode, into that kind of episode? Unless you have like a small scene of her at the end. I don't know what the sort of credit requirements are on that, because TV just works differently in that sort of way, doesn't it? Yeah, not to say that, you know, TV shows haven't had spin-off episodes, pilot episodes, bottle episodes, you know, like more self-contained episodes. I really hope that we do get that in some way, shape or form in season three. I don't know what that looks like yet, but I would love that. I think that would be really, really great. And I love the tease here as well. I also love, and there's a few different examples of this, the explosion on the island in the back. You can also see when Ellie's waiting for the boats to go and Isaac looks towards the island, like us gamers, we know where he's going, right? And then you get the sort of, what's it called, when the Seraphites get called away from trying to kill Ellie and they get called into battle, we know which battle they're going into. And I thought that was a great way to tease that for season three. Because I was kind of thinking, like, okay, obviously Ellie survives this episode. And us gamers know that that she's going to survive the rest of the season or two seasons or the rest of the story. I was like, how does she get out of this? Like, Jesse's not there, Tommy's not there, Dina's not there. None of our group are there to save her. Isaac's not even there to sort of, you know, deter them away. But they hear an explosion. It is a little bit TV tropey cliche of like, hey, this character's about to be killed. Oops, there's a thing that's interrupted them. But I didn't mind that. I didn't mind that at all. But I thought that was a really good way to tease her, the prophet. I can't remember if she's ever given an actual name, but the prophet for season three. I really, really liked seeing that. And we just had to borrow Ellie for 2 minutes to show that. So, yeah. Because I don't really know what other way you would have put that in the episode, because that also wasn't something I was thinking that was going to be in this episode. But I think also having the two leaders of both groups, like seeing Isaac going off to the island and seeing the prophet get called away into battle, is a really, I think, really great way to kind of tease that aspect of season three. I just wonder for season three how much Seraphite's wolf confrontation are we going to see that doesn't involve Abby on screen? I wonder. I know we know she gets more involved later, because obviously the whole Yara Lev thing as well. So yeah, I thought that was really, really cool. I did not expect that at all, but again, when you come up with new ideas, and I understand why you've put them in there, and the function and the purpose, didn't expect it, and it worked great. It was, I thought, quite minimal, not nice and minimal. It doesn't tell you sort of who's winning or what exactly is going on. It just teases, hey, there's explosions, Isaac's going to an island, here is this woman who looks more like a leader. And man, the manipulation of children, the way that kid just, oh my god, just blankly stares, and then he does the little thumb thing of like, just cut her. I assume that meant like cut her downwards or something. I thought that was great. I really, really enjoyed that. And I, yeah, so I get the conversation around like, hey, why did Ellie need to be there? But how else would you have shown that in the episode? There's actually only one scene in this episode that I think you can cut out, and it wouldn't make the episode better. It would just, why did we see Isaac shaving for like 15 seconds? I don't know. I get his conversation with the woman in the tent about like, what's going to happen to us? We're probably going to die. And talking up Abby, which I thought was a great way to sort of do that before she becomes the protagonist of season three. But why did you show us? Was it like this getting ready for war kind of thing? I don't know. I'm not mad about it. But even in the second watch, as soon as the scene ended, I was like, okay, that's a thing that's just there. I guess it was some sort of manly, Isaac's ready for war. Isaac's having a shave and he's ready for war. Maybe, I don't know. So yeah. What else do we have? So that's the big chunk of stuff I wanted to talk about in terms of the teasers for next season. I really like the way it was done. Was it weird to borrow Ellie for those, for that one bit? Maybe, but I didn't have a problem with it. I wasn't like, hey, why are you dragging Ellie out here for? Because how else do you show that? Unless you suddenly cut over to the prophet doing the same thing, but doing it to a wolf. I don't know. I also do like, again, and this applies to the game as well, how pretty much throughout all of your encounters with the Seraphites, they confuse your group as the wolves. And even Ellie in that bit was like, hey, I'm not one of the people that you're actually after, but they see her as a threat, I guess. So, or either that, or they don't believe her. Maybe they think she's trying to get out of it or something. But I thought that was quite good. It wasn't something I expected, but it was a very interesting tease for season three. So there we go. And then something I want to dig into a bit more on our scene by scene recap. I like how, because I think she drops both guns, or not she drops both guns, but they cause her to drop both guns. And once she gets let go from the rope and gets up, there's a little shot in the rain of, it's crazy how effective rain is in, not just in media in general, but in The Last of Us. It really just does add something. I thought it was very cool in this episode. But this sort of, okay, you've been let go, here's Joel's revolver, a sort of reminder of what you're doing, let's get back on track. I thought that was a just nice little shot. My next note is what Abby will have been doing in this episode. And what I mean by that is, not that it's relevant to right now, but it's fun to talk about for season three. What will she have been doing? Now, I can remember the events of, you know, Abby's day one, day two, day three, but not clearly in my mind. It's been a minute since I've visited that part of the game. From what I remember, isn't she escaping this island? Because, what was it that happened? Let me try and remember. They all go to the aquarium, right? That's where Mel says, "You're a piece of shit, Abby," and that's where I was furious at Mel. That was the moment that I knew that I hated Mel. And I'm very curious as to how that works again next season. If I remember, it is Lev that runs off in a boat to go back to the island because of their, and by their I mean Lev and Yara, their mother was in trouble. I can't remember why they know that. Again, my brain's a little bit muddled on some of those parts, but he goes back on the boat and that's what causes Yara and Abby to go to the island. And then, of course, Isaac gets involved, kills Yara. Abby then does eventually find Lev and they escape the island. So I think, isn't it the case that as these explosions are going on, Abby and Lev are trying to escape from, I think they call it Scar Island in the game. And then come back to the aquarium. Pretty sure by the time she gets back to the aquarium, Mel and Owen are both dead, and then the theatre thing happens. I think that's how all of that goes, right? So, yeah, I think as these explosions are going off, and as both the Prophet and, although that's interesting, because, just thought of something, chronologically. Because when Abby meets Yara and Lev, the Prophet is trying to kill Abby. I wonder if you might play that out differently in season three then. Because I swear that's around more, that's more around like day two, right? Because she, Abby, leaves them in that cabin thing, if I'm correct. And then Abby then goes back to the boat, has sex with Owen. And then doesn't she then wake up the next day and it is day three? So the Prophet would be dead by that point. Wonder how they're going to move that around then. Unless the Prophet dies later or something. I mean, they haven't actually moved character deaths around a lot, have they? I don't know. Because, again, Bill's situation was different and Frank. But for the most part, apart from animals, which we'll talk about in a minute, how might they? I don't know. That's going to be a bit further in season three. I think it's just too early maybe to talk about that yet. So, that's just something I realized is, I swear that the Prophet gets killed in day two, and this is taking place during day three. I have to wait and see what happens, I suppose. I don't think there's potential of like, oh, they've ruined that or messed it up. We also have to see how the remix kind of goes there. And we've known that they've moved things around a little bit. So I have to see how that goes later. It's way too early to predict for that yet. But yeah, that's what I think she'll be doing. She will have been doing off screen in this episode is escaping from that island, I'm pretty sure. Maybe talking to... Yeah, it would have been the whole argument with Owen, then leave on the boat, then Scar Island, come back, aquarium, see Owen and Mel, then theatre, right? I think that would have been her episode. In fact, I wonder if you see literally those events happen in whatever episode that's going to be in. So I switch gears back to our main protagonist Ellie and a Jesse scene. Now this is just a little thing, and I kind of noticed something. I noticed it a bit on my first watch, and I noticed it even more on my second watch. There was no joke between Ellie and Jesse about Joel's comments, the whole bit about, because we got it in episode 6, didn't we, about hey, you and Jesse spend a lot of time together, and oh, I got an eye for these sort of things. And then later on in the bookstore with Jesse, she brings up that conversation. Now, again, for the opening part all the way up to here, up to Jesse actually walking away from Ellie, you kind of just get this sort of vibe of, and I think it worked in the show, that from all the different conversations, I'm not going to recap them here, that's what Wednesday will be for. None of these characters really being happy with each other. It's a very messy situation. There's a pregnancy going around. There's the whole thing with Joel that talks about to Dina. You can clearly tell there's like, you know, a lot of tension. It didn't feel, I think tonally in that scene when they're sitting down talking by the books, because that would have been the place to do it, right? And they're talking about different stuff there. It didn't quite feel like, and the conversation can't happen now because Jesse's dead. And there was no high five either outside out of the building. But from the tone in that entire scene of them sort of bickering back and forth between each other, and then it resulting in them just splitting up because they're annoyed at each other, the two more jokey parts, which is the high five and the hey Joel thought I was interested in you, I don't know that they would have actually fit in that scene. But the episode had that vibe up until then, that this wasn't a time for really those sort of more light-hearted moments. It was a lot more serious in tone. Now, I don't know if that was the correct choice in quotes, but that's what they were going for, and it worked for what it did there. I know that that meant that we didn't have that conversation or that little joke between them, but, and I know I said that Last of Us is very good at going back and forth between those two bits, that just didn't feel, and I wonder if, because I haven't got to that part in the official podcast yet either, I wonder if they maybe just didn't feel like tonally it was right, because my second watch I really noticed that a bit more and thought, no, that's not really a place for that conversation. So, I don't know. Anyway, we had half of it, and it was very delightfully played in the Joel Ellie scene, so I'll take that for what it is. No Alice and no Shimmer deaths. Both animals live. I was kind of waiting in my first watch for, like, because there was a few different corner turns and camera cuts, right, when Ellie's walking into the aquarium, and I was like, okay, are we going to see a dog just jump out at some point? They didn't put it in. That doesn't mean that Alice isn't going to be in season 3. Again, I haven't got to that part in the official podcast, but arguably the more important quote-unquote thing is obviously having Mel and Owen be there, which is going to sound wrong, but thankfully Mel was pregnant. Now, we had no real proper reason to think she wouldn't be, but my whole conversation on that was purely based on, and it's probably overthinking, overanalyzing, but yeah, that's what I'm here to do. Because we hadn't had that any sense of any conversation in either episodes 1 or 2 when they were showing Abby's crew, that was not set up, so we did not know for definite if Mel was going to be pregnant. The part in, I can't remember where I got up to in the official podcast, but Hallie Gross did kind of mention or make a nod to where you've got Jesse helping Dina, and it's a pregnant woman needing help, and then later on she kind of mentions like it, that kind of mirrors or thematically mirrors like a pregnant woman needing help. That works, you know. What I was kind of more concerned about is later on next season when Abby potentially goes to kill her, if that still happens, it's very important that her pregnant friend just died. Otherwise, that wouldn't have had as much impact. Because in terms of Ellie saying, like, oh, I didn't mean to kill them, and I get why she said that and whatever, I think Abby will just... Abby's just very gung-ho in that situation anyway, and it's, hey, like, again, you killed my friends and whatever else, right? So that was the more important aspect to me. It's cool that the thematic thing was there. And I'll see what they say in the official podcast in that later part. But I'm just glad that she was... I'm not going to break the actual Mel scene down here, but very glad that she was. Not that I don't want to see pregnant women dying, but in terms of the context of the show and why it's important and what it will do or should do later on is quite important as well. So, good. That's good. It's not nice. It's not nice at all. but very important, so... That's good. Tommy shooting in the background. Now, I said in the spoiler-free review that I think they arguably did that slightly better. I didn't say which scene I was actually talking about. I just had to do a lot of hinting kind of spoiler-free bits. The difference I like slash prefer there, and it's purely just in the conversation or the setup in that scene... Because they think Tommy's still out there. They think Tommy's still alive. And I can't quite remember exactly how that goes down in the game. In terms of, Jesse thinks Tommy's out there somewhere. But I don't think in the game you hear gunshots in the background. So them hearing, hey, there's a sniper. Or is it on the radio that they hear it? I think it might be on the radio that they hear it. I can't quite remember the exact way that goes down in the game. But hearing... the sniper shots in the background, you're pretty sure that that's Tommy, especially as it's right near the aquarium, you know that Abby's there. So who might Tommy be shooting at? He might be shooting at Manny, mightn't he? I suspect that, obviously, by the time Abby gets to the theatre, in the theatre scene, that Manny's probably been shot. Speaking of Tommy... So, we haven't seen any of his Seattle Day adventures, and I wonder how you might do this. Because, okay, now you've sort of got three main plot lines to address in next season. Which is Tommy's Seattle Day 1, Day 2, Day 3 antics, Abby's antics during those days, and the Seraphites and Wolf's confrontation, as well as the conflict between, as they call it, the Salt Lake City group, the four people we have, the conflict between all them, especially obviously the sort of love triangle between OE, Mel and Abby, so how they might play all that out. So yeah, you might need more episodes maybe. We're probably not going to get that much Ellie and Dina next season, aren't we? But the whole idea, again, is to flip perspectives and show you what Abby's been up to this whole time. So, again, you could do... because they'd be doing it more sort of chapters for episodes. Wonder if you just might just do a Tommy episode. Maybe you could do a double flashback thing. I don't know the placement of how you do this, but let's say if you have two flashback episodes and one is more to do with the Seraphites and what they're up to, and the important thing there being the Prophet, and if you get another episode which in the show we see the episode after, no, I don't know how that would work. I don't know where a breakpoint would be, but what I'm thinking is if you've got Abby's POV through the Seattle days and Tommy's in the background doing those things, and then at some point, I don't know where you would break it off. This is a brand new thought to me. I don't know where you would break it off, but I wonder if you chose Abby's Seattle days, again, probably an episode each for each 3 days. And then you cut backwards. It'll be a lot to show in one episode, but you could probably do it. If you then cut to all the way back to Jackson and show, give Gabriel Luna an episode. And show his whole thing. Is there enough there for one episode? Because what do we need to see? We need to see the POV of obviously him taking down Manny. Maybe you could include Jesse in those bits. Maybe that's a way to bring Young back. Because they left together, didn't they, right? To go and look for Ellie in this version of the story. That might be an interesting way to bring Young back, actually. And this week here, because I didn't see any videos this week of, like, doing a series wrap on Young Mazzino. And, of course, it wouldn't be a series wrap on Mel or Owen, because they're going to be in next season. Because I was just trying to think of... Because, yeah, again, the 2 seconds scene for when Ellie's choking Abby under the water, but you don't need Pedro back on set for that. You've probably already got the footage that you need. But I didn't see anything of, like, a series wrap on Young Mazzino. And it wouldn't be on Nora, a series wrap on Nora either, because she's probably in next season. Yeah, I wonder if he could be in next. I'm just thinking in terms of showing Jesse and Tommy's adventures. I don't know. These are all very, very rough early predictions. And again, I'm trying to look at the structure of how you structured this season and how that might play out with what you've got in next season. Because even though you don't see... you don't have the POV of Tommy's actions in the game, because you don't play as Tommy in the game. That is a chance to do more of an extension there. So I'm hoping we do get something of Tommy, maybe of Jesse as well, if that's the case. Yeah. Because for the episode there, you could conclude that where they both find... Ellie in the aquarium, maybe. I don't know. Again, no images, no footage, nothing for season 3, so I'm working off of nothing basically, and just guesses, but that's what we're here to do. So well, so we need to move on from there. Talked about Mel being pregnant. Something I noticed, actually, I did take a photo of this. I did not notice this in my first watch at all. I happened to look up at one point. So I'm assuming, so for those of you who are game and TV people, which I'm assuming there's no TV only people in here. So this is, I don't have the time code, but, and this might just be a random thing, but it made me think of something. There's a shot where Ellie and Jesse are walking towards this white van. And there's a yellow, the actual driver's seat part of it is yellow, the actual van of it itself is white. There's a blue building just above that, and sitting right on top of that, because I guess I wasn't looking up, because why would I do that necessarily? There's a little, like, red bridge-looking thing going from one, it's leaning on one building and going on another. Now, it doesn't look exactly like the Sky Bridge, but because in this episode you're doing some nods and some teases towards next season, and I have no idea how you're going to pull off the bridge thing, because that's, again, you've got to remember, when you're doing video game parts, you can kind of just animate / edit these things in. You don't really build them, do you? Whereas if you're doing a live action show, you've got to make sets, or use green screens, or use relocations, or, you know, mixture of all three, or whatever. So I don't know practically what that would be like to put in next season. I don't know if that is the sky, because it doesn't look like the Sky Bridge, but it looks like a little nod to it. Maybe it's just a bit of set decoration, and it just happens to be like this, because... What does this actually look like? Let me zoom in on this little red thing. It kind of looks a little bit like a makeshift bridge. It half looks like a makeshift bridge, and it half looks like a kind of crane that's just happened to landed on two buildings. But it does kind of look straight enough to walk on. So, and not that it was the straightest thing to walk on, because there was big pieces of it missing and all that. But... Yeah, that would be an interesting way to tease that in next season. So yeah, for those of you that want to go back and look at this, look at what I'm talking about, go to a scene where, like, there's a very low camera shot pointing slightly upwards. It is Ellie and Jesse walking forward. I think this is before they see the Seraphite person get taken away by all the wolves. I think it's the scene just before that when they're walking in. I think it's when they're coming away from the theatre. And they then end up at that next bit. If you pause the episode and look up, you'll see this red bridge crane looking thing. And if that's not, I'm not saying that's the actual Sky Bridge, but it certainly looks like a nod to it. Again, I haven't got to that part in the podcast yet, so I'm curious to see if that gets mentioned. Because I can't geographically remember like where it is. It's between a bunch of the broken buildings, right? But because they're sort of near to the aquarium this whole time. So I can't remember how close it is to that. But yeah, anyway, just thought that was interesting. So that's one of the last notes I've got. You wasted it. You wasted it. I'm going to be honest. I'm always trying to be honest on this podcast. You could have... Now, this would not have happened, obviously. The only two things I definitively wanted in this episode was Mel to be pregnant, and that seemed to play out kind of like the game, which it did play out kind of like the game, and to get some sense of a recreation of the theatre scene, and to get the line, "You wasted it." That is one of my favourite lines in this entire franchise. Yeah, really, really, really happy to see that. Like I said in, my spoiler-free review. Yeah, there was two or three moments right out of the game that they nailed. One of the other ones, because those were two of them, which was the Mel Owen scene and then the theatre "You Wasted It" scene. Obviously, Jesse's death connected to that. I was pretty stunned by what they did with that boat scene. Now, what you could have done, because you kind of needed to show Ellie at least getting on a boat, because that's what she was waiting for, right? You could have, what you could have done, if you were not lazy, but if you wanted to cut down on things, is simply show Ellie getting on the boat. And then show Ellie getting off the boat. You did not have to include like the bit with the waves and all that sort of stuff. Because I just remember what season one was like with water. It kind of wanted to avoid water scenes. This did not avoid the water scene. In fact, we kind of had two parts to it, which was her getting back on the boat after the scars thing. And then... Wait, did she get back on the boat? I think she did. I need to watch it again, obviously. Yeah, you could have very easily just, okay, show her, like, undoing the knot and all that, and then taking off on the boat. Show, like, 3 seconds of her taking off, and then you could very easily have just cut to her crashing ashore where the Seraphites were. You did not have to include the wave scene, and... Okay, there was no arcade with the blow with the thing. I said in my predictions I didn't expect to see that. I didn't need that at all. But yeah, I was pretty surprised by that. Because I know it was sort of teased in the promo, but I was like, okay, what are we actually going to see from that? But damn, and like, I'm sure it wasn't maybe as hard as I'm overthinking it to have been, but the bit where like the camera cuts, because it cuts in a few different directions, right? We see the Ferris wheel, we see the island in the background being blown up, and then we see a bit more of a close-up of Ellie's face. Wonder how they did the camera work on that. Again, I'll have to hear that from the official podcast. So, good stuff. Very, very good stuff. I was very impressed by that. So, yeah. Alright, that's it for, that's really all I can do for predictions for the rest of anything else, because I have nothing, I don't have a promo to go off of, I don't have any screenshots to go off of, I've simply got this episode, so, a little bit different. Right, let's move on to some feedback, some emails. You can always write in to ask for The Last of Us whenever you want. Of course, we've got one podcast left for the season, which is the actual spoiler review on Wednesday. It will be on Wednesday this week. There's no football in the way. My team is literally, thankfully, finally done playing football this season. I'm genuinely glad that I can have a break from watching Man United play. I know that sounds bad, but oh my God. Thank God. Oh man. More on that later. Anyway, you can always write in and whatever else. I'm sure in... Because, okay, when are we expecting the first little tidbits for Season 3? They apparently don't start shooting until next year, so... yeah, we might not see anything for a while. We might not see anything for a while. But, of course, when we get our first little tidbits and whatever else, you can be sure that I will be here for those bits. Anyway, you can still write in your feedback, your general feedback if you want to, for Wednesday's podcast. Of course, if you want to do spoiler-free stuff, like just actual discussions on the actual episode, you can do that as well. Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkUK and Entertainment Talk, and there's information in your show notes. So that's how you can write in. Josh says, I've been happy to listen to you try and look at more positive possibilities if things aren't included. I think I know what you mean by that. I think you mean, for example, if something isn't included in the show, what alternatives could they do? And I tried as very, very, as hard as I could, didn't I, to look at, okay, for example, if Mel isn't pregnant because it wasn't set up by that point in the show, what will that look like? I know all those predictions went to waste technically, but it was still fun to do. So, I just tried to, you know, I know people kind of bitch and moan a lot about like, hey, you changed this, you changed that, but you've got to look at why. Why was something changed? And listening to the actual people, not that the official podcast is like a requirement, doesn't mean that you have to listen to it, but it can be helpful. It could be helpful to like, okay, if something's different to what you thought it was going to be in an episode or in a piece of media, and you're asking yourself, why did you change it? Well, it might be worth listening to the people who did make it to then find out why they did change said thing. Again, not a requirement, but if you do have a genuine question about why a creator, not just for The Last of Us, but for anything else, why they did something that they did or why they had a certain intention. It's like I said to David on the review for last week's podcast. I'm fine with you changing certain stuff as long as the changes aren't too tremendously drastic. But if you can then explain why you changed something and I go, oh, okay, I see what you were doing there. Now that I understand that, I look back on a choice and see, you know, it sort of adding up more. That doesn't mean I have to agree with that change, but if worse comes to worse and you change something and I go, okay, well, why did you do that? That was weird or bad or whatever. And a creator, writer or whatever tries to then explain and that doesn't add up in your mind or that doesn't make sense to you or you disagree with the why they've changed it, that's when things then sort of get worse. So, yeah. But no, that's, again, part of what this whole predictions thing was for. So, yeah, that was very fun to do. Will says, how do you think audiences will take a season 3 of Abby? I don't know yet. It depends on how many of them think that that's what they're actually going to get. Because it's very, very apparent in the game. And again, this is where the two mediums work very differently. Because, okay, we ended this episode with, hey, Seattle day one. We see Abby at a different location. Maybe this is where she started day one. That doesn't mean that TV only people can then automatically guess like, oh, that means we're not going to see any of Ellie in the season, which we probably won't until what, the season finale, I assume, when it matches up to the theater confrontation. But audiences don't know that because for TV only people, let's say David, for example, he said numerous times, and I like this as well. He said numerous times when he's tried to do predictions or guess what next that he has no idea. Not in the way of, you know, he's stupid and he can't predict what's going to happen, but he doesn't know this story. He doesn't know anything about the story. So you wouldn't really guess that, would you, necessarily? You might be able to guess in terms of, oh, are we going to see... Okay, you can get the sense of, okay, we're going to see Abby's day one. That doesn't mean automatically that we'll see basically none of Ellie. Because they don't know when Ellie's going to pop back up in this story, do they? Whereas I think in the game you get a greater sense of... You're now... I mean, I casting my own mind back to when I was playing the game... I think when, for me, when you come across the first workbench as Abby, and you're like, oh, I'm doing upgrades for her. Yeah, because you didn't necessarily know that you were going to see day one, two, and three. Because you had no idea, like, for fresh, the fresh game experience, you didn't know what was going to happen either. But for me, it was kind of... Okay, we're playing as Abby for a bit. Okay, we got a flashback. Okay, her dad's here. That, you know, because I had no idea when you would cut back to the theater or when that would be or how that, because we just didn't know, did we? We had no idea. So I wonder if how that will affect the TV audience. Which makes me wonder how, like, if David says, you know, on Wednesday's podcast, like, are we going to get a season of Abby? I don't feel like I want to say to him, you're going to get basically none of Ellie, I almost said Bella, Ellie, same thing, in next season. I'm not going to say that to him on the podcast because I feel like that's kind of a spoiler. But yeah, you could take a very good guess that you're going to see Abby's day one because that's kind of what you were shown and that's, again, the next set piece thing. Because again, when we were playing the game, or at least when I was playing the game, oh okay, Abby day one. All right, okay. When are we getting back to? I didn't know when we were going to cut back to the theater. But it was when you come across that first workbench and like, oh, you're giving me an Abby workbench. Okay, I get that she's got her own loadout for a minute, but you don't know how long that bit's going to last, do you? But for me, it was when you come across the workbench and it was like, oh, okay, we're not going away anytime soon, are we? And of course, that won't happen in the show, will it? So, yeah. But yeah, like, again, in terms of a full Abby season, you might cut away to Isaac for a bit. You might cut away to Owen and Mel doing something. You might cut away to, again, Tommy could be there. Yeah, because then there is the other part of, like, the Wolves and Seraphites thing. We might cut over to that a few times and see what's going on over there. You might get a focused scene between Isaac and them, or Isaac and his own crew as well. Like, I mean, we had something like that in this episode. So it won't be the entire season of just Abby the whole way through. Because it will work differently. Because this whole season wasn't Ellie the whole way through, was it? You had, you know, the whole basement thing explored. You had some other stuff as well. So, yeah, which also cut back to Abby sometimes. So, we'll see. But, yeah, so it depends, or to kind of properly answer your question, it would depend on how many audience members know or think that that's what they're actually going to get. Because if they don't, then... Because you couldn't have every single TV-only person watch the end of this episode and go, oh god, we're in for a whole season of Abby, because they don't know that. They don't know that. They can guess, but they don't know that. So, anyway... And then lastly, we have Kyle, who says, what do you think were the biggest missing scenes that we won't get later? See, there's genuinely nothing... There's a few examples I have, but there's genuinely nothing where I'm like, oh my god, you skipped over this thing, it's a really, really vital, important part, you've messed up... Because I would have mentioned it by now. Or at least in this episode, I would have said, like, ah, oh, there's a really big bit that they missed that they really, really had to get to. I do think for all the full main narrative things, they did all of them, didn't they? I mean, is there anything that I'm annoyed that we didn't see? I would have liked to have maybe seen the, what to call it? I don't know what happened, like how the second game actually starts. I would have liked that, but even Neil Druckmann himself in the director commentary of the game said, like, okay, we kind of put this in as a confession and also as a recap, because it had been 7 years in between games, which is way longer than what you get of in between seasons, even for certain shows like Stranger Things or whatever, or Severance. That's 3 or 4 years. You're talking about 7 years. And yes, people can replay stuff, revisit stuff, but 2013 to 2020 is a much bigger gap than most shows do. So it was kind of, he admitted it was kind of a way to recap slash confess to Tommy. But as I said many episodes ago, I can't remember which episode it was that I predicted for, and because these aren't, you're not copying and pasting the exact same versions of every character and just plopping them into the show, because you're having different people play them as well, and slightly different interpretations of the characters. Is it vital that this TV version of Tommy knows what Joel did? Not right now. So where do we see him chronologically? Because we're about to rewind time, basically. Chronologically, where do we see him after the theater? We next see him at the farm. Because I know you've had, like, Nora knows, Dina knows. Did Dilly tell Jesse about the whole Fireflies Safe Hospital thing? I don't think anybody's told Jesse, but Dina knows from this episode. How many alive characters actually know about? Obviously, Ellie knows, Dina knows now. Nora's dead, but she knew. Abby knows. I guess Lev would probably know. Because when Ellie's standing there in the theater trying to explain to Abby about the whole "I'm the one that you want, Joel did what he did because of me" and everything, Lev is off in the corner. So I do find it kind of interesting the way that they, because they play the same scene out sort of a bit later on, don't they? And Lev is off screen, but Lev doesn't actually say anything until he goes, "No, Abby, don't do it," right? In terms of attempting to kill Dina. Just like with the Jewish thing we discussed with Dina, it's a part of her character in the game. Is that fully necessary in the show? And, well, we discussed it at length at the time, and the conclusion we reached was no. But you still had the same story in there about her sister and her mother, which mostly, from what I remember, plays out the same way, in a similar way at least in the game. You just have the Jewish background attached to it, the whole long line of survivors stuff. So, there's a few bits you didn't do, like killing Alice, killing more dogs, killing more of the wolves, or WLF, I mean. I think if something, now that we've gone through all 7 episodes, if something really glaring and something that was really bothering me was missing, I probably would have noticed and I would have mentioned it on a podcast, because I'm sitting here really trying to think about that, and I can't really come up with anything which would tell me that the answer is no. In terms of, because you said see you later, obviously I've been doing a lot of kind of, hey, we haven't had this bit yet, has it been moved? I mean, chronologically, we're matched up, aren't we? Because they're all where they need to be at the theatre. Tommy's there. Everybody's there. I'm pretty sure, like, when we have the theatre scene in this game, I think everybody is in the same spot that they're at in the game. I'm talking about people who are still at Jackson. The only two differences for characters we have is Shima and Alice are both still alive. Although, maybe Alice died from something else, but we haven't seen that yet because we haven't seen that side. But maybe Alice just doesn't die in the thing. I think as well, and I kind of just was thinking about this, because there's a difference between watching these characters do these actions and you playing as three of the different characters. Joel, Abby, Ellie. I know you play as Sarah for a little bit as well. Because you're controlling the actions of these characters, there is a difference in the input there. Because in the second half of the game, when you're playing as Abby and you're throwing the ball to Alice, and it's like you're throwing this ball to a dog that you killed, but you're not playing Ellie's scenes in this episode because you're watching the show. Therefore, you don't have the sort of player guilt of, hey, look at this cute little dog that was defending, because it's a very territorial thing, right? The dog would obviously, because I assume every dog smells and senses each human individually. We probably all have our own different smells, right? And would have detected Ellie coming into the aquarium and be like, hang on a minute, that's an enemy in my, because dogs are very territorial, and gone to attack Ellie. And you see that dog as something that's in the way, and you don't know Alice in the same way that you do as a player later on. So when you're throwing the ball to the dog in the game and you're controlling that, and obviously you're mashing X and you're controlling that in the game, there's not the same input there. So maybe that's why they did that. Again, I'll see what they say on the official podcast. Because you're watching Ellie do those parts. You don't have the same player input, I suppose. I think that's my interpretation of it, maybe, as to why they didn't include it. But because even if the same throw the ball to the dog scene is in there later on, you can't have the same player guilt of, now you're throwing this ball to a dog that you killed. How do you feel about that? Because that's not what would have happened. I guess you could do a little bit of the thing of, hey, this was the dog that Ellie killed. Now Abby's throwing this. It wasn't a ball, actually, was it? It was a octopus toy, but never mind. I guess you could have the sort of, oh, isn't this dog really sweet? But, oh, Ellie killed it. But the player input is not there. The mashing the square and then the throwing of the thing, the toy, to the dog, that's not the same, because you're not playing the game, you're watching the show. So anyway, and again, because there's two things I've got planned to do for this, for Last of Us. I don't know when I'm going to do them. Is, again, now that we have an example of how the show has adapted the first part of this game, take that as a sample, play the rest of the second half of the game, and use this second season as an example of what season 3 could look like, because that's what I did with season 1 translating to season 2, how will that look, and then going back through the first half of the second game, and okay, you know how it adapted, now go back to the game and go through again the bits that you've seen in season 2, and then maybe see what's missing. Then maybe something then will pop up as like, oh my god, you really should have included that, but I don't think there's anything. And then what I could do, and this is quite a long process, closer to when season 3 comes out, I can then play through that. So picking up from there, because I'll probably pick up from the same bit, playing the second half of the game, and then seeing, having that flow into season 3 and seeing how that matches up. Now the difference there, if we get a season 4, I'm still intending to play the whole second half of the game again. And this is in obviously 4 years time for season 4, if we do indeed get that. I don't know why HBO would say no, but anyway. That I would just play that a bit different. But that's in 4 years' time. Don't worry about that yet. I say don't worry about that. It's all things that I'm going to be doing. So maybe that's like a project for next year or something. Yeah, like once we start getting some trailers next year and getting some the hype back up, is continue my 8th playthrough of the second half of the game, so Abby's story, then seeing how that plays out in the show in season 3, and then once we take a break there, wait, no, I was going to do it the other way around, wasn't I? Anyway, I've lost my own train of thought. Yeah, I think you know what I all mean, so I'm just going to leave that there. Anyway, so yeah. Alright, yeah, we have no episode next week, so I have nothing to predict for in the immediate future, apart from 2 years' time. So, I'll be back doing this, yeah, assuming in 2 years' time when we come back, and, if we get the same episodes in the same way, I will probably do the same thing. Not expecting screeners for next season, because we didn't get them this year. But hey, it gave me the opportunity to do a different type of coverage, which I thought was very cool. So, yeah, as it stands right now, my plan is next season, cover it the same way I've covered this second season. I mean, I don't know where I'll be in 2 years. Nobody does. We can all plan as best as we want, right? We can all do certain things in our life, but no one knows where they're going to be in 2 years. No one knows where they're going to be in 1 week. Things can happen in life, right? So, but yes, if we're in the same opportunity, in the same situation, and I feel the same way, then yeah, and again, 4 years flung forward, if the same thing is there for the same thing with season 4, then yeah, I think that could work the same way. So we'll just have to see. That's just what I'm saying right now. We don't know what the situation will be like in 2 and in 4 years' time. So yeah, this has been a lot, but it's been fun. And I guess next week I'll have more time to do other things. So yeah, but look, we're not done yet for season coverage. We have, of course, the actual episode to do a spoiler review for, the scene breakdowns, and I'll be stripping back my future spoiler talk. That's what this podcast was for. Yeah, and then, of course, yeah, get David's opinion on the episode, have a bit of a back and forth with him, and we'll see how that plays out. Do a scene recap of the episode and poke him with some questions. There's a few questions that I've got. Again, if you've got any last questions to poke him with, in terms of what do you think of this, what do you think of that, remember he is a show-only person. He has not played the second game. If you want to poke him with any questions, write them in and we can poke him together. I don't know if that sounds good or normal, but it's been fun to do that, so if you've got any last-minute ones, of course, you've got all of tomorrow to write in, which is Tuesday, and then most of the day on Wednesday to write in as well. So please do that. It is going to be your last chance to do that and get your last chance in for your last chance to get in any feedback for the episodes. I do have one more idea for one more podcast next week. It's not a season wrap-up. We don't really do that kind of thing. Not because we don't like to, but it just never falls that way. I've got a different idea for it, if David's up for doing it. I don't know why he wouldn't be, but there's an idea that I've got for one more piece, like they say at E3 and stuff. Well, E3 is dead, like they do at gaming shows. Just that one more thing. I've got one more idea for not necessarily coverage for the season, but two other things that I would like to do, but I need to discuss them with David, and we'll see how that goes. But I'll discuss that with him off the air. I want to try and talk to him about that before Wednesday, actually, so we can know going into the podcast if we're going to do that. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I like to tease the audience sometimes, and if that happens, you can join us next week for that. If not, then we'll just wrap up for Wednesday, and we'll move on to actually covering other stuff as well. So anyway, thank you very, very much for all the numbers and all the listens and all the support, and because the numbers have been very good, thank you for tuning in. And yeah, we're not wrapped up yet, so thank you very much for listening, and we will see you on Wednesday. But before then, of course, Matthew at entertainmenttalk.org, social media, eTalkUK and Entertainment Talk, that's how you can write in to the show. and his information in the show notes. So predictions, thoughts, questions, queries, whatever, write them all in, and we can cover those on Wednesday. But yeah, in the meantime, if you want to support the other podcasts that we do make other podcasts as well. There's TV, games, films, Man United podcast. There'll be a United cast wrap up. I'll probably do that next week. I'm not in the mood to do that this week. I'm honestly not. I'm just really... I've got some... things to say on the season wrap-up. That will be a... United cast season wrap-up for the... 24-25 season. I am, feeling a particular way, and I have some things to say, but I don't even want to do that this week. I want to just get through the rest of this Last of Us stuff, get through this week. I've got some other stuff to do, and then come into that fresh, next week. So look out for that next week. Gaming Talk will be back next week, by the way. Just couldn't quite fit that in this week, unfortunately. We will definitely be back next week for that. Look out for United Cast podcast and Gaming Talk next week. Should be some film reviews soon. I know I keep saying that, but that's not as easy to do as covering other stuff. So look out for those, and then any other podcasts that we do as well. Check those out. EntertainmentTalk.org, podcast platforms, Entertainment Talk for TV, games, films, Main Eye podcast. If you'd like to support us, of course, you can listen to more podcasts. Word of mouth, social media, and if someone mentions something we podcasted on, please tell them about said podcast. Patreon, $5, $10 level tiers for the every podcast review options. Look for that as well if you like to. And speaking of David, he runs something called Geek Town. That's for your TV and your film news. Geek Town Radio will be out on Tuesdays, and geektown.co.uk through the week for all your TV and your film news. And if you want to discover our video game clips and things like that, YouTube Entertainment Talk Plays. Also, I did review Final Fantasy VII Rebirth this week. I was not happy with that game, but you can listen to that to find out more of why. Alright, I'm going to breathe, and I'll see you for the review Wednesday. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.